Welcome to Aspire. I'm your host, Gregory Penn. I am grateful that you chose to be with me on this 21st day of January 2018. And this program is going to be entitled, Something is Wrong. You have no idea how pertinent this might be to your life. Anyway, I hope you'll hang in there and listen. I want to remind you that these radio programs are TV programs, and everything that we offer on our Aspire website and things that I do, like hospice and hospital and all sorts of work that I do on the side here, as it were, is all done and allowed through the kindness and the compliment of my sponsors. And I want to thank each and every one of them for their kindness, their love, their support, everything they do. And I hope that you will become a sponsor and help us sustain our radio and our TV efforts here on the internet. It's very, very important. I don't think there's much around like this. And I hope that in some way I am able to be of service to you, to humankind in this way. So if Aspire has been important to you, if it has done anything to serve you, I hope you will become a sponsor. And this is a good time to help in the beginning of the year, because always donations tend to be low. We're getting ready for the tax time, which is another thing that is wrong. So let's just get to the questions. I hope that you will go to the website at aspire.org. There you will see a little button that says sponsorship. If you click on that, it'll tell you all about sponsorship, how to be a sponsor, how to serve humankind in this way, and all the benefits that you get for being a sponsor. Take a look at the little drop-down menu that says Why Support Aspire. I think we all feel it in the air, don't we? It's probably a lot of it has to do with our government, our dear president, and all the things that are going on in government. You know, this, I was reading the other day where a couple of, a group of psychologists and psychiatrists were considering the fact that maybe that the president of the United States is, you know, nuts. He has some problems, mental. And I sit here and I marvel at it. You couldn't see this, you know, during the election. You couldn't see there's something wrong. There's always something wrong with anybody I have met. And this is just a personal thing, who has way too much money. They get too much attention, too much power, too much leniency, too much favoritism, and it messes with their mind, and it really does. So I don't understand why we're so surprised at all of this, but evidently we are. So I was driving to the post office yesterday and was listening a little bit to NPR. Every so often I plug into that and see what's going on, so I'm relevant, at least to a certain degree. And here they are talking about, you know, the insanity that's in the air. And it is in the air, but, you know, we the people elected this character. And we the people didn't care if he was mentally ill. And there's nothing in our Constitution that says that a mentally ill person can't be president. Isn't that interesting? And that means a lot of that mental illness is us. Our adoration for wealth and power is much more important to us than our humanity, our service to humankind, our compassion, our love even. We don't care about any of that. We only care about money. So I got three beautiful questions here in the last 2 weeks that I thought I would read to you. These were questions put to me during the month of December. So it's kind of, you know, Christmas time, holly jolly Christmas, and here's what we got. First one comes from Carrie in Cincinnati, Ohio. That's a long way away. I feel, Greg, that something is very wrong and that we're on the verge of something. Why isn't it always on the verge of good instead of the verge of bad or evil? I just feel it. Why, Carrie? Carrie, your question I chose because it forces me into an issue. And I can't avoid it. You know, I'll be honest with you. I tiptoe around it because it's just nothing I can do about it. There's nothing. I wish there was something I could do about it, but there is nothing I can do about it. So I tiptoe. So here's the deal. Yes, something is very wrong. Very, very wrong. What you're feeling is the collective unconscious. It is thick, thicker than it has ever been before. And you see it permeate every single human being you know and is on the planet. This collective unconscious is everything that all of us are emulating from our emotions and from our mental place, our psychology. And we make it very, very, very powerful because there's more people on the planet than there ever was. Hence, this becomes a very powerful influence in our lives. You think that what you think and feel and believe doesn't matter? Well, Carrie, guess what? It does. It does matter. And what I send forth into the world becomes a part of the atmosphere of the collective unconscious. And those who have a, I'm going to be very blunt, weak mentality, people who are not very strong on the intuitive side and more on the fearful side of their life, they look at this collective unconscious unconsciously, and it's like this tit that just hangs from the sky that they suck off. And wherever there is fear or anger or hatred or adventure, as people would like to call it, I was sitting there watching the playoff games the last weekend, and it just astounds me how many movies are out there trying to get you to be patriotic with guns and shooting the enemy and being in danger and, you know, train rides with people shooting each other. It's incredible how much violence is in our movies and how this affects each and every one of us. And that's the tit. Carrie, that's the place we go. And we suck on that and get our fill of hate and fear and anger. And it just goes on and on and on. And it never blooming ends. So what can I say to you? I mean, really, what can I say? If you go to movie theaters and you watch violent movies, or you go and watch violent TV programs, CIS, CEA, NURD, I don't know what these movies are about, these TV programs. I don't fill my heads with it. My head is, you know, it's susceptible just like yours to the collective. I too feel a very deep sorrow, sadness for humankind. I feel very sad that we've put ourselves in a position where a handful of human beings, men who are absolutely absurd, men who have had too much money, too much power, too much of everything, too many excuses, too much leniency given to them. And if you acknowledge and even looked at our government and how it works, you would see how corrupt. They killed Jack right in front of us. That's audacity. They did the same thing to Bobby. They did the same thing to Martin. We just don't care. No, it doesn't matter. Well, you know, it doesn't matter. It does matter. Everything matters. So what you are feeling, Carrie, is the collective unconscious bearing down. There's so many more human beings on the planet, and we're incarnating more and more of these kinds of human beings. And, you know, the like attracts like. Well, look what we've attracted. I don't like it much, but this is what we've drawn to us. So what can I say to you? Yes, something is very wrong. We see it in the government. We see it in the president. We see it in the horse manure that we see in the press. Everything. Everything is filled with all sorts of, you better be afraid of this, you better be afraid of that. There are very few things that get more press than the ugliness of our fighting among ourselves about insanity and who's insane and all of that. And frankly speaking, anyone who is not pushing for peace, who is not pushing for equality, who is not pushing for compassion, things that would help people. And now we're over the top. We just can't help all those people. There isn't enough. There's enough resources in this world for war and killing each other, but there's not much for helping each other. We just don't see the value in loving one another. And my generation is a total failure in this, and we were supposed to do something noble. Some of us tried, but believe me, I saw the latest Al Gore film, you know, Inconvenient Truth Part 2, and even he, I mean, he's just pissing against the wind. He really is, and even he admits it. Though he keeps trying, he reminds me of me. We keep trying. There are some of us in this world that just keep trying to help in every way possible we can, and giving of what talents we have. But boy, the collective is huge, the masses are huge, and eventually it's going to come to a place where it gets super ugly and super dangerous. And that's where it's going to begin, and that's probably where it's going to end. Who knows? Carrie, I'm no soothsayer. I do not know. But I'm telling you, I know why you feel there's something wrong out there. Please forgive me. Namaste. You know, I offer this opportunity for meditation, retreats, workshops, all sorts of things, discourses, commentaries, podcasts, video casts, radio programs. Believe me, people are dumbed down by their emotionality, and it makes it very difficult for them to hear the message. They only hear certain things from the Buddha, the certain things from Jesus, maybe one or two things from Lao Tzu, and there are many great ones that have touched the face of the earth that have come to help us. But we don't listen very well to any of these people, and nor are we much interested, because we are so fascinated and extreme in our emotionality. And everything that is extremely emotional or extreme at all is what is going on in our world, in our life, in ourselves. It's very, very painful. Next question. Maria. She does not tell me where she lives. I can't forgive myself for what I do. I say things I wish I hadn't. I do things I wish I hadn't. They make sense at the time. Why do I do this, Maria? Well, Maria, I don't know you, okay? So I'm going to assume, and that means I'll make an ass of me here. But you're obsessive, you're overly emotional, and you've taken it too far. And that's just the way it is. A lot of people who are highly emotional just take everything too far. So when you are being highly emotional and you can't stop yourself, you know, that thing that people do, men and women do that. I've seen them blurt out things out of their mouth, and you think, do you really mean that? Do you really understand what you just said? And I don't care. I don't care. Things like that have a definite effect on our life and on our living. And it is extremely important that you understand the nature of all of this and what it means in your life that you are overly emotional. It means your DNA has overridden your sense of common sense. And most people lack the common sense gene, and it comes from our genetic nature. So if genetically you come from a long line of emotional people who have no genetic common sense about much and are extreme in their emotionality, you're going to find all of this terribly upsetting and revealing, and you're going to see in yourself, oh my God, I have shifted into a gear that isn't very healthy. So what to do? It's a big one. I mean, I can tell you what to do, but you're not going to do it. You're just not going to do it. It isn't in your genetic nature. You're following your genetics until the day you die, and that will be the end of that, and it won't go any deeper, any further. It just will be what it is. But here's how it works. You have to transcend your genetics. You have to eventually go into a place where you go beyond your genetic nature, which means you must do some catharsis. You have to start becoming conscious. You have to start meditating. You're going to have to change the way you live day to day and not give so much to what you fear. The sky, well, it may be falling soon, but the sky is not falling right now, and you have to learn how to live moment to moment to moment beyond the concept of Mr. Tolle's idea of now. There is no now, but as long as people can grasp all that and think all that, they can go with it, just like there is no such thing as unconditional love. It's insane that people think this and that teachers, Western teachers, have taught it. There are many conditions to the state of a great love. And one of them is not to go extreme emotionally. You can't do it. If you become an extremist in your emotionality and call it your belief or whatever you want, you're going to utterly destroy your own life. So the things I'm asking you to change are the way you have grouped your genetic nature inside, how you've extremed them, as I like to call it, where you live by them in extreme ways. You never question your genetic nature. You never question you. You never question how you think and your emotions. You never look at it and go, is this the best thing for me and everyone involved? Is this the best thing? And if it is or isn't, you have to discern what you're going to do about it that is peaceful, not emotional. Now, this takes great discipline and sacrifice. Now, that word sacrifice and discipline, these two words, although they're the key to many things in a person's life, are not very popular. And they do not work very well with the heart and soul of our inner being. But nonetheless, and less than none, how do you talk people down from hate? How do you say to people, fear and hate, it's unnecessary. It's unnecessary. It's unnecessary. How do you say that? Most people wouldn't believe you in the first place. They don't understand. They don't care to understand. They don't believe it. They want the murder, the mystery, the kill. They want all of the things that they believe would make them powerful, happy, admired, respected. Do you want to be respected for how powerful you are, or the state of your love? How loving you are. How kind, how compassionate, how forgiving. Would you be willing to die for that? That's the key. Most people would not. They want to live on in this tragedy of human despair that we have created in this world. And while there are a few of us out there trying to change all of that or to alleviate at least some of the suffering of all of that, there's many, many more Marias out there that get overblown in their anger and their fear and their hate. And I don't know you, Maria. I've never met you, so I'm assuming a great deal here, but maybe you're a Christian, maybe you're not. I don't know what you are, but I can tell you that your religion backs you up in one way or another, and it doesn't help you to grow and expand. meditate, work on yourself. If you really are serious about your question, then you need to start working on yourself and not live this fantasy life that you are working with here that has fear and anger to it. It just takes it too far and makes it too ugly, Maria. I wish I could sit down and talk to you, but I can't. Please forgive me. Namaste. And the last question, Jim from Colorado. How do I know what is wrong and what is right? Just that simple question, Greg. Jim, Colorado. Jim, a mind that is concerned with right and wrong, good and bad, is a very confused mind. Because one moment things look right, and the next moment things look wrong. So the whole idea of the way we live our life and how we live our life is very, very important. But we don't quite see it that way. We see our life as a matter of what advantage can I have over disadvantage? How good is your good is what I want to know. How bad is your bad? So I don't know in terms of you and your psychology, your emotionality, and what you are, how good your good is, and what you even call good. This is a very tricky question. And what you call bad. Everybody's got a bad side to them. Everybody. We all do. But you got to look at it from the point of view of how bad is my bad. Here's what I say. Transcend good and bad. Do what is loving. The higher call to love through compassion. You're going to have to find your spiritual heart, not your human heart. Believe me, it's not in your human heart. You're going to have to find your spiritual heart. And if you can find your spiritual heart, if you can find that dimension of the spiritual heart within you, you have achieved a great deal in your life. You will intuitively know. Let me give you a little example. Maybe you're doing something in your day. And normally you're going about your routine, but you hear a still small voice that says, do this. Do this. And you think to yourself, well, what the heck is that? And you still hear, just do it. Now, it may be something absolutely out of the realm of your logic and reasoning, out of your routine. And your mind is fighting it, going, well, if we do that, then we're going to be behind schedule and we have all these other things to do. And this is the way we've always done it. But instead of listening to that, just go do it. Don't argue. Don't fight. Just go do it. Do it without reservation. Do it without fear. Do it without anger. Do it without hate. Just do it. Now, I think if you do this, if you have the courage to do this, you're going to find a profound change in how you do everything. And you're going to find, at least this is what I have found, that everything fits perfectly just the way it is. And you'll start to feel the immensity and the beauty of your life. You'll start to find there is another way. The way is the way. Going another direction into the way of life of harmony, of kindness, the movement of beauty. This is all inside of us. We must learn how to live as a harmony to life. Not each other, life. If we attain to the harmony of life, each of us, you will find that we have harmony with each other automatically. But you have to find that harmony of life. If you and I don't, we are left to the ego, the vanity, the pride. And you've seen how this works out, don't you? Thank you for your kind question, Jim. Please forgive me. Well, that does it for the week. I'm sure I'm going to get some mail on this one. So if you're looking to yell at me, I'm at greg@aspire.org. greg@aspire.org. I'd love to hear from you. Really, I would. Have a beautiful weekend. Please forgive me, eh? Namaste.